You're listening to Game On with Jackson Stewart.
Time takes a toll on everyone, they say. Time is merciless, even we for us to change. Time, I am stressing out, I can't figure out what to say. Oh, time, just give us time. Time, looking back on pictures, and I find it hard to see.
Good people, sexy people, welcome to another edition of Game On with Jackson Stewart. I'm your host, and as always, I really appreciate you guys taking a moment to check out the show and to give me a listen. Want to invite you to follow Game On with Jackson Stewart on all social media. YouTube, Game On with Jack. The blog, GameOnWithJack.blog. Twitter and Instagram, same handle. And Facebook, follow the page Game On with Jackson. So definitely follow those. Give me a like, subscribe, leave comments. All of them have similar content, but there's also content that is unique to each platform. So don't feel like to follow one is to follow them all, because there's a little something different in each one. And I want to make sure that you guys take a moment to check it out. Tonight's episode, we are talking about bringing out the bad guy. Why you need to stop being the hero. And, you know, you guys have heard that old adage about nice guys finish last. We've talked about, you know, the nice guy versus the good guy before on the show. But it's a topic that it's eternal, right? Because it never goes away completely. It's always going to be kind of a thing that's out there. So tonight's a little different because we're not just talking about the nice guy versus the good guy, but we're talking about when you got to be the bad guy, right? When you got to bring out the villain in you. When do you have to do that? Why do you have to do that? The benefits, the pros, the cons, etc. So in life, as in games, we're often taught the value of playing the hero, right? Being the good guy, the reliable teammate, the one who always does what's right. But what if I told you that there are moments, strategic points in life, in your career, your relationship, etc., where adopting the role of the villain is not just beneficial, but it's necessary for growth and advancement. So tonight, we're diving into the nuances of this strategy, how to implement it with integrity, and the powerful outcomes it can lead to. So understanding the villain archetype. All right, so let's clarify what we mean by being the villain. By what do I mean when I say bring out the bad guy? I'm not talking about just being a ruthless asshole. All right, I'm not talking about being sadistic or cruel or misogynistic or racist or ageist or homophobic. Any of the things that we would think are horrible traits, right? Bringing out the bad guy, being the villain, is not about causing harm or acting unethically. Instead, it's about embracing assertiveness, making tough decisions that might not please everyone. And you do this knowing you're not going to please everybody. And at times, putting your interests or the greater good ahead of popularity. So villains in stories often have a clear vision and the will to pursue it, regardless of opposition, regardless of not having the popular vote behind their idea. And this is the aspect that we're interested in tonight, the determination to see your vision realized, even if it means facing disapproval. So we love villains, right? Like, take any story or any intellectual property that you follow and remove the villain from it, and the hero falls flat, right? Let's take one of the most popular intellectual properties of late, the Avengers. And, you know, the Avengers movies all lead towards a confrontation with Thanos, that purple guy with the ball sack chin, who with a snap of his almighty infinity glove wipes out half of the universe. He's the bad guy. He's the villain, no doubt. Now, granted, in his own way, sorry, spoilers, if you've been under a rock for the last 5 or 6 years and don't know about the Avengers, yes, he is the bad guy. He is cold, he is cruel, he is calculating. However, and in the movie, you know, they gave him some kind of pseudo-altruistic purposes, but what makes Thanos so tough is that his assertiveness has a, you know, to use one of his lines from the movie, an inevitability to him. He just will not be stopped. He will not fail for long. He will not be ignored. He will not kowtow to what other people want. Now, granted, he's wrong and he's bad. I'm not saying turn to Thanos, guys, but there's something to take from that villain. Look at a Darth Vader. You know, Darth Vader, clearly bad guy, clearly villain, but he is precise. He is exact. He is strategic. He puts his needs over the needs of the greater good or over others, because in that moment, that's what he needs done. Now, we'll talk about why that's good and when you should do that, and when you shouldn't. But these are just some popular villains and that come to mind when I think about the bad guy. You know, we can go all the way down through, you know, all types of bad guys through history, through literature, through sports. Look at some of the bad boys of sports. I'm going to date myself a little bit, but look at a Dennis Rodman, who was considered one of the baddest boys of the NBA. But when he got with the Bulls, even he was with the Pistons. Yeah, they called Rodman the wild card, the bad boy, but his determination, his will, his assertiveness was unparalleled. And it was intricately and intimately tied to his renegade, rebellious, bad boy personality. All right, so let's talk about some of the types of the villain archetype. The strategic villain, excuse me. So in business and personal development, the strategic villain knows when to say no, when to push back against consensus, if it's leading in the wrong direction, and when to prioritize their agenda. This role requires a deep understanding of one's goals and the courage to pursue them, and the wisdom to recognize the impact of your actions on others. So, examples of a strategic villain in action. They have an innovation against the grain. So consider the tech moguls who were initially seen as villains for disrupting traditional markets and norms. You could look at Bill Gates, look at Steve Jobs, look at Jeff Bezos, look at all these guys, look at Mark Zuckerberg, look at Elon Musk. And granted, all those guys have drawbacks and things that they do that, you know, I don't agree with and others don't agree with. But while they were considered bad for shaking up the industry, look at what they did. Look at how they've moved humanity forward with some of their revolutions in technology and business. They had a vision. They pursued it relentlessly, despite criticism, despite being blasted in media and by their peers and by the markets. And eventually they led to innovation that changed the world. Now, here's the thing about innovation when you're the bad guy. You're only the bad guy until it works. So if you take, you know, there are people who said, once again, I'm not signing off on this, but there are people who said that Bill Gates stole the idea from Microsoft Windows. He argued that he saw something similar and he improved on it. People are like, oh, that's terrible, whatever. But then Bill Gates gave us Windows. And I'm sorry, if you pull Windows out of our history as a species, I don't know where we would be in terms of technology, in terms of medicine, in terms of science. So now, you know, we laud him as a humanitarian, as a technological giant, as a genius. Did he do some villainous stuff? Possibly. But amongst the things he did that people consider kind of cutthroat was he had a clear vision on what he wanted and he pursued it relentlessly. So that's something you can take away from being a from a villain in business. You have a goal. Now, granted, don't run over people. Don't destroy people. Don't steal from people. But take away the villain's ability to focus with laser-like intensity. Next up, political leaders making tough calls. All right. So political history is filled with leaders who had to make unpopular decisions for the greater good. They faced harsh criticism in the moment, but ultimately were vindicated by history. We could go through, you know, all kind of historical figures, many of which are escaping me right now. And I know all my history professors and teachers would yell at me. But, you know, let's take one of the greatest, Abraham Lincoln. His stance on how he handled the Civil War, how he handled slavery. He was right one second. He was vilified the next. Eventually, he became considered one of the greatest presidents of all time. At the moment, he was called an idiot. He was called an imbecile, a fool. He was called a traitor. So he made a tough call against popular decision for what he considered was the greater good. Everyday workplace scenarios, sometimes being the villain means being the one to end unproductive meetings, to question inefficient practices, or even make tough staffing decisions. So these actions might not win immediate popularity, but can lead to better outcomes for the organization. Workplace environments can be bloated and swollen with inefficiency and unnecessary meetings and discussions and so on. So in curbing some of those things, you might come off as cutthroat. You might come off as the villain. Good example. This is something I do. When I have a meeting, I put a 30-minute timer on a phone. I throw that phone in the middle of the table. Now I'm like, when that goes off, the meeting is over with. I don't care if I'm talking. And boom. So that cuts down on the bullshit. You know, people talking about unnecessary stuff. Now, if we got extra time, and, you know, you want to talk about personal stuff, whatever, that's cool. But you got to hit what the meeting is about. That can seem terse. That can seem very, like, to the point and almost cold. But in reality, it's for the good of the meeting, the good of the people involved, their time. It's respectful of everything. But people at the moment might not see it that way. So, excuse me. Oh, real quick, example I love, and you guys, I'll talk about movies and sci-fi and drama and stuff all the time. But to all my Trekkies out there, there's a great Star Trek episode of the original series where Captain Kirk is caught up in a transporter beam accident, and he's split into two Captain Kirks. One is his good side, and one is his bad side. So the good side, noble, polite, kind, but he lacks the ability to make a decision. He has lost his assertiveness, his aggression, his ability to make his needs first. And, in a lot of times, his needs were the importance of the ship and the crew. His bad side was aggressive, assertive, determined. But he was also, you know, a terrible person, you know, and he was belligerent and mean and sadistic. And so the beauty of that episode is that they point out that while, yes, we are raised and taught to only be good, you do need the villainous side of you as much as you need the heroic side of you. And sometimes you got to be more villain than anything else. You know, if you're in a meeting or you're in a relationship or whatever it is, and somebody's trying to fuck you over, somebody's trying to take from you, somebody's trying to play you to get theirs and you not get anything in return, you got to take a hard stance and you got to speak your piece. That comes from the side of you that we have often considered to be the villain. And sometimes you do have to draw a line in the sand and say, you're not doing that to me. And I'm not putting up with this. And this is bullshit. And that doesn't come from the Prince Charming side of you that's like, oh, do-do-do-do-do. Everything's all, you know, singing birds and flowers. That comes from the party that's the villain. The party that's not going to put up with bullshit. The party that's able to recognize that you are as important as anybody else and your needs in this moment need to be considered and talked about first. So to be a villain with integrity, you know, means that being a strategic villain is not about abandoning your morals. You know, it's not about hurting people for the sake of hurting people. It's not about being untrustworthy. It's not about only getting what you need and damning everybody else. On the contrary, it's about aligning your actions with a deep sense of ethics and purpose, right? Because it's ethical that you are considered as important as other people. It's ethical that you get listened to as much as other people get listened to. It's ethical that in the pursuit of the overall wellness of the company or the business or the relationship that you are considered as well. So here are some guidelines about being a villain with integrity. Be clear on your vision. Know what you're trying to achieve and why it's important. This clarity will guide your actions and help you articulate your decisions to others. You know, you can speak calmly without emotion. You're not lashing out at people. And when you can be clear on your vision, when you be clear on your vision, you can explain to people, not that you need to, but well, sometimes you might need to if it's your boss or something, but you can bring them over to your side once you explain things calmly and clearly. Communicate with transparency. When you're making tough decisions, explain your reasoning. People may not agree, but understanding your thought process can mitigate negative reactions. If you got to let somebody go, if you got to break up with somebody, if you got to, you know, set boundaries, if you explain why, then people are less likely, even though they don't agree, or even though they don't like it, they can respect and still trust your actions because they know that, well, it's coming from a place of thought, of consideration, not just knee-jerk reaction and selfishness. Next up, act with empathy, all right? So you're being a strategic villain and you're going to act with empathy and you're going to understand the impact of your decisions on others and approach your actions with compassion. Being a villain doesn't mean being heartless. You can still be to the point. You can still be swift and full of action and still have a heart, still understand that what you're doing is going to have possibly a negative impact on others, but it's got to get done. And once again, that something's got to get done no matter what. The medicine's got to get taken no matter how bad it tastes. Those are qualities, and that's a perspective that we tend to attribute to a villain. And that's there are many times when you have to take that bad guy approach. Maintain your integrity. So ensure your actions, even when they're tough, are always rooted in honesty, fairness, and ethical considerations. You may be doing the hard thing. You may be making the hard choice, but you're not making it for just selfish gain. And that's what really separates the villain from what you're being in the moment, which is just villainous light. You're doing things for the better. You're doing things for the greater good. You're doing things to balance things out with a sense of fairness. You're not doing things just so you get yours and everybody else can go to hell. And that's the big difference. So the benefits of embracing your inner villain. One, clarity of purpose. So when you play the villain, when necessary, it forces you to clarify your goals and priorities. And this leads to a more focused and purpose-driven set of actions. Two, resiliency. Think of every villain in every movie. You thought that son of a bitch was dead. They're still 20 minutes in the movie. They pop back up. when you face opposition, you navigate through tough times. You navigate through difficulties. And this builds resiliency. A crucial trait for success in any endeavor. I'm telling you, if you can be resilient, I don't care if your business fails. I don't care if your relationship fails. I don't care if your health starts to fail. If you can have resiliency, the ability to see something through, no matter how difficult things are, the ability to bounce back from adversity, you can't be stopped. You know, it's that great quote that I've heard Denzel Washington say. I've heard Les Brown say. I've heard other people say, fall down 7, get up 8. That's resiliency. It's beautiful. And that's why one of our classic villainous tropes, the zombie, is really so scary, because zombies don't, they don't stop until, like, maybe you shoot them in the head or something. But I'm just saying, like, it's that, or the Terminator, it's that idea that something is going to keep going no matter what until it's accomplished its goal. That might be a villainous trait, but it's a villainous trait that we could all learn to tap into. And yes, I just brought up zombies and Terminators. Innovation is the third benefit of embracing your inner villain. Being willing to disrupt the status quo can lead to breakthrough innovations and progress. Shaking shit up because things have become stagnant, because things have become complacent, because there's no growth. Boom, you shake shit up. Or maybe you shake things up because you see the company, the business, the relationship, what have you, backsliding and going in the opposite direction. Case in point, let's go back to Thanos. He thought that the population of the universe was too much. We were overpopulated, run out of resources. So he said, well, let's get rid of half of everybody. Excuse me, I don't know why he didn't double the resources, but anyway. He made a tough choice for, you know, what he thought was the greater good. In this case, it was an innovative idea to handle resource control. Snap your fingers, wipe out everybody. Lastly, leadership growth, learning when to make tough decisions and stand firm in the face of criticism really does develop your capabilities as a leader. One of my favorite books, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, talks about leadership, talks about leading in the face of opposition, talks about when to be hard and when to be gentle. And you'd be surprised, a villainous stance can really lead you to great gentleness. Because once you swoop in and swiftly handle shit and take care of business, you can then be afford yourself the luxury of being kind when others do not expect you to be. So some takeaway, guys, about, you know, bringing on the bad guy, why you need to stop being the hero. And actually, let me back up. You need to stop being the hero. I should have said this earlier. Because one, the hero tends to get ignored. The hero does not put his needs first or even consider them at all. The hero rarely ever gets the love interest, because villainous traits, things like determination, swiftness, accuracy, resiliency, these are attractive qualities. And sorry, Mr. Hero, but you rarely show those. And also, the hero tends to be a nice guy. And you don't want to be a nice guy. You want to be a good guy. A nice guy can't stand up for himself or won't stand up for himself. A nice guy will watch something terrible happen and have tissue for the tears, but won't be able to do anything to stop it. A good guy can give somebody roses and break somebody's arm in the same day if they got to do it. So you need to stop being the hero, or at least all the time, because it's not doing you any good. There's times to be gentle and passive, and there's times to whoop ass. So, in the narrative of your life, don't be afraid to occasionally take on the role of the villain, if it means staying true to your vision and your values. Remember, history is replete with figures who were once viewed as villains, but are now celebrated for their courage, their vision, their unwavering commitment to change. But keep in mind, being a villain does not mean being the bad guy, does not mean being cruel or evil or lascivious or maleficent or any of those other words that we attribute with the true villain. This is villain light. This is really a good guy with an attitude, with an agenda, with a purpose, with a goal, an unswerving, unwavering ability to get shit done. You can still be the good guy. You're just not going to be the pushover. And like I've said before on previous episodes, the nice guy is Clark Kent. The good guy is Superman. Superman's a good guy, but they don't fuck with him because he'll hit you with a building and hit you with laser beams out of his eyes. But even Superman can be a bad guy or have a little bit of bad guy every now and then. Same goes for you. So thank you guys for joining me tonight on Game Out with Jackson Stewart. Follow me on all social media with the @GameOutWithJack handle. Follow the Facebook page. Really do need you guys to like that page. I want to get that really built up. Turn into a community for all of us players out there looking to level up life as men. That is Facebook/GameOnWithJackson. And catch you on the blog and YouTube and Twitter and all the things. You guys rock. Thank you so much. Couldn't do it without you. Wouldn't want to do it without you. Knowing when to be the villain is just one strategy in your playbook to win the game. So until next time, guys, keep it sexy and game on.